Hi, everyone. It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Many Americans head back to work today as we kick off the new year, but the federal government is still partially shut down over a fight over the border and border security. And while many federal employees may not be going to work today, in detention centers across the country, many migrants will be. They'll be cleaning or cooking in the facilities they're housed in. The minimum pay mandated by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, $1 a day. Technically, the work isn't mandatory, but detainees in multiple class action lawsuits claim that they have, in fact, been forced to work. And as the Trump administration continues to expand migrant detention, an investigation by the Daily Beast finds that the companies behind these detention centers are profiting. American taxpayers are the ones footing the bill for these facilities, to the tune of $800 million. That's according to Spencer Ackerman, senior national security correspondent for the Daily Beast. His new investigation explores just how lucrative this business has become and who exactly benefits.
So we took a look at some of the harder-to-find numbers that make up this new and exploding approach to immigration detention. We reported in November that immigration detention had reached an all-time high of about 44,600 people detained on average every single day in
the United States. And these are not children. These are adults?
They include children, but adults, primarily adults. We found through crunching some numbers about the private detention aspect of immigration prisons. That's not the whole thing, but it's a substantial and rather we found alarming part of it, that that's a business in the United States that in 2018 paid, and this is a very conservative estimate for reasons we can get into, over $800 million in taxpayer money in 2018 to the corporations that perform this service.
Are American taxpayers aware of this?
By and large, it's hard to say. Those who focus on immigration probably know the contours of this. To the general public, perhaps not. And that was something that motivated us at the Daily Beast to look into this.
So who are the players in this space? Who are the folks that are making money off of locking up migrant and immigrant folks coming to this country?
It's an excellent question. And a lot of the players are some of the same corporations. There aren't that many private prison corporations at scale. So you see them, companies that one of them is called CoreCivic, used to be known as the Corrections Corporation of America, did a little bit of rebranding. Another one, the real major player in this space is called Geo Group.
Let's talk about how they make money too.
Yeah.
How is it that they make money? How do you, I mean, and these are corporations that are trading on stock exchanges. Like mm-hmm. This is, people can buy shares in CoreCivic and Geo Group. How are they making money? By setting up, by incarcerating or detaining folks?
Yes, and in a variety of different ways. So sometimes they'll take over operations that ICE and the Department of Homeland Security have already contracted out with state and local authorities. So they'll basically run operations for the detention side of immigration detention in county prisons, for instance. Other times they'll sort of purpose build a facility just for immigration detention. So that's one of the ways that we found that some of the numbers in terms of both where immigration detention takes place for the private prisons corporations, as well as the scale of it, can get sometimes hidden because the Department of Homeland Security will kind of reveal some aspects of these numbers, but not really the total of them.
Now, we know that in prison, inmates are generally asked to, or not asked to, but are forced to work for pennies on the dollar. Is the same happening in these detention facilities? Are migrants being forced to work for pennies on the dollar?
So formally, no. Formally, the Department of Homeland Security and ICE say that all prison labor and immigration detention is supposed to be voluntary, that you can't compel someone to work. People I talk to, including a young woman who's been in immigration detention for 2 years, says that in practice, not really so much, that she acknowledges that, you know, no guard is forcing her to sweep a corridor or to make someone's food. But the reality of immigration detention is that it's an anxious circumstance. There's very little certainty except for the very real and very heavy likelihood that tomorrow you're still going to be locked up like you are today. And that often leads people to break up the monotony of the day and give themselves something to take their minds off of the circumstances that they're in, to jobs as minimally compensated as a dollar a day. This woman in particular that we talk about in the piece quite a bit, for the last, I believe, like 5 months, every day she's elected to perform kitchen functions that happen at the break of dawn or before. So she'll cook food for other detainees, she'll serve it, she'll clean up. And that typically happens between 2 and 8 in the morning. That pays $3 a day, which is more than the $1 required minimal compensation at a lot of these immigration detention facilities.
But there are lawsuits that are alleging that some of folks have been forced to do work. Is that right?
Several. The tens of thousands of people have sued GEO Group and CoreCivic. Sometimes there have been state's attorney general lawsuits that say that this work fundamentally, because of the fact that it occurs in an incarceration setting, even though that's not supposed to be how immigration detention formally is, nevertheless is fundamentally coercive. That essentially out of that brings parallels from a lot of immigration activists and attorneys to slave labor in uncomfortable ways that don't often get discussed when we talk about immigration.
What kinds of profits are we talking about here that these companies are making? Can you give us a dollar amount somewhere?
Well, for instance, GEO Group, which runs one of the facilities that incarcerate and employ one of the women who's central to the story that we told, they expect to make something like $2.2 billion over the last fiscal year.
Are the folks who have been detained, are these migrants also being asked to pay for things like personal hygiene items or food?
Indeed, you find that the money that they make in these prisons goes back into their commissary. So in effect, they're paying the people who both employ them and lock them up.
You said commissary, and I keep thinking we're talking about people who have been detained and not incarcerated. Are
That's
these
right.
folks aren't even citizens of the United States. I mean, what recourse do they have in this environment?
A minimal recourse, basically. They can take it up with their attorneys when they're allowed to see them. One attorney we profile in the piece, she and six colleagues out in Aurora, Colorado, provide free legal counsel to 1,000 people. So we're not really talking about, in practice, people who are set up to provide much in the way of recourse. But, you know, we mentioned there are class action suits that have been filed on behalf of people who are working in this setting. And it's important to remember here, to take a bit of a step back, that immigration detention by law is not supposed to be punitive. This is not supposed to be something that people have been punished for, that it's not something that the violation that they're accused of committing is being redressed through the detention. The detention is supposed to be, again, in theory, a mechanism to compel people to go to their immigration hearings. In a lot of cases, these are people who are trying to apply for asylum. They want these hearings in the first place. They're incentivized in that way to already, you know, attend them, to participate in the proceedings. In many cases, these are people who will have to, you know, learn in a foreign language a different country's immigration law, as complex as that is, to represent their own interests here, because of the realities of how difficult it is in practice to provide for an actual legal defense. It's also important to keep in mind the Trump administration, in its budget submissions to Congress, expects the number of people that it locks up for immigration reasons to keep on rising. So, for instance, in the budget that it had submitted for, you know, whether this actually comes to pass or not, who knows, but for February 19th, 2019, it anticipates detaining about 52,000 people. That's already up from the all-time high that we're seeing right now of over 44,000 people. And that 44,000 people is substantially up from what ICE was budgetarily allowed to detain in 2018 already. So the budget submissions are very likely not the real numbers that are going in here, that it's going to be substantially more people that are going to be locked up.
Now, are there connections between the current administration, the Trump administration, and the private prison industry?
Quite so. The major corporations in the private prisons industry, for both general federal incarceration and for immigration detention, GEO Group and CoreCivic, gave tremendous amounts of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, to Trump's campaign and to his inauguration. We've seen people who used to run important aspects of ICE and the Department of Homeland Security take prestigious jobs and lucrative jobs at these corporations. So there really does seem to be a revolving door happening. And in particular, that the companies saw that betting on the Trump administration with its hardline approach to immigration, with its carceral approach to immigration, and with its growing immigration numbers represented a good investment on their part. They would make money off this policy.
I'm wondering also how you see this at a time when the Trump administration, well, Democrats and Republicans more broadly, have come to a consensus on criminal justice reform for American citizens. Does this fall into that category at all? Or are you seeing any, you know, bipartisan agreements to mitigate detention, not just criminal justice in the United States?
Well, immigration detention is not supposed to occur in the context of the criminal justice system at all. Being in the United States, quote unquote, illegally is a misdemeanor civil violation. It's not a criminal offense. Similarly, as we mentioned, incarceration for immigration reasons isn't supposed to be punitive. These are supposed to be apples and oranges. In reality, we are seeing the increased carceral approach to immigration sort of swallowing the system.
Spencer Ackerman is a senior national security correspondent for The Daily Beast. Spencer, thanks for your reporting.
Thanks very much for having me to talk about it.
We reached out to CoreCivic and Geo Group for comment on this investigation, and here's what CoreCivic told us. Quote, we do not enforce immigration laws or policies or have any say whatsoever in an individual's deportation or release. CoreCivic does not know the circumstances of individuals when they are placed in a facility, and our responsibility is to care for each person respectfully and humanely while they receive the legal due process to which they are entitled. Their full statement can be found at thetakeaway.org. We have not heard back from Geo Group.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.